Welcome to Tune In, Discovering Your Authentic Self. My heartbeat is to connect with others and learn what they are thinking and feeling so I can empower them to find the answers within. We each have the answers inside us, but in order to access all the possibilities, we need to understand the truth of what is really going on inside, instead of choosing habits that shove down our feelings and continue to mask the pain and discomfort. We can rewire these faulty patterns we develop to avoid, but only when we become more aware and admit it to ourselves. We all have a story to tell, and the better we understand ourselves and how we think and feel, we can then make choices that are in alignment with our goals and values and who we want to be in this life. Join me on this Tune In journey. Welcome to Tune In, Discovering Your Authentic Self. Today is going to be part 3 of the Insecure Attachment Style series that I have been doing. The first one I did was the Anxious Preoccupied. The second was the Dismissive Avoidant. And today we are going to talk about the Fearful Avoidant Attachment. So some common characteristics of the Fearful Avoidant is that they can be very present in relationships. They can be hypervigilant, which means that they're kind of looking for things to go wrong. They're charming and likable. They're very generous when they're in close relationships. They can be intense emotionally. They can be hot and cold when they're in close relationships. Suspicious. They can be all or nothing thinkers, very emotional, very deep, nurturing, resilient, and headstrong. So some of the fearful avoidance core wounds: I will be betrayed. I am unsafe. I am unworthy. I am bad. I will be abandoned. I am trapped. I am helpless, powerless, and out of control. I'm not good enough. I will be disrespected. I am unloved, and I am weak. Some common emotional patterns that you might see in the fearful avoidant is they get angry. They're hurt often. They can get frustrated when they're feeling trapped. They can get overwhelmed. They can feel very pressured. Shame, a lot of times, guilt, anxiety, and they can get offended easily. Some of their fears that they have are, and based on their core wounds, is that they can feel betrayed. They can feel unworthy, trapped, helpless, powerless. They don't like to be publicly shamed. They can feel that way. When they get in trouble, they can kind of see themselves as bad. And when they're verbally or emotionally attacked, they have a very strong fight back response. So some of the needs that a fearful avoidant has, especially in romantic relationships, is they need to feel a certain emotional depth in their relationship. Otherwise, it's not worth it to them. They need to feel a lot of passion. Trust is a big one. Presence. So when you're out with them and you're having a conversation, they need to feel that you are 100% present. They need to feel safe. Novelty is a big one. So going out and trying different things with their partner. Growth, personal growth is a big one. Independence, freedom, intimacy, and to feel wanted, to feel seen and heard. So boundaries, something that we've talked about with the other two attachment styles, they're very different. Fearful avoidance in relationship to boundaries, they are often without them in very close relationships. So that will happen, and then they will eventually become very frustrated because they're feeling like they're taking advantage of, but it's because they haven't set their boundaries. And so at times they'll lash out and but then they'll feel guilty and they'll go back to being boundaryless and being like overgiving. If you ask a fearful avoidant if they're good at boundaries, they think they are, but if you actually look closely, they're setting their boundaries from a place of frustration or anger or charged emotion. So this is different than being empowered. So we typically want to set a boundary because we're feeling strong and confident and powerful, not because we're rebounding from getting angry with something. So how does a fearful avoidant handle conflict? So they will go back and forth from people-pleasing to wanting to be independent and standing up for themselves. So an under-expression to an over-expression. They will make assumptions about a situation before completely investigating it. They will act or can act from a place of volatility and panic at times. They will tend to over-defend themselves during conflict. They can become spiteful if they feel hurt. Once the dust has settled after conflict, they're often very good about empathizing and seeing the other's perspective. They like to handle things directly. So approach-oriented versus like an avoidant will not. They are likely to put their need for approval from others ahead of their own preferred outcome. At times, they will try to manage other people's feelings around conflict above their own. They'll struggle with guilt after conflict, and sometimes they can be a little sharp with their words. What are the needs of a fearful avoidant? Growth and opportunity, to feel empowered, to feel seen and heard, to feel connected. That's a really big one. Feel understood by others, their ability to express their opinions, to be respected by others, and they will respond well to criticism if it's delivered respectfully. So we all have expectations, and the fearful avoidant has some common expectations. They feel that nobody should ever break their trust. So if that's something that happens, a lot of times they will not give second chances. No lying. So, you know, it could be a lie that might not be that big of a deal, but once they feel that that happens, it's really hard for them to get back on track and trust. They expect their romantic partner to be as giving as they are. They feel that their partner should always respect their independence, that their partner should always want them and want to be around them, and that their partner should be faithful in thought, emotion, opinion, and action. Some common behavioral coping mechanisms of the fearful avoidant is they will test often. They will do these things to make sure that their partner is all in and that their partner is putting them first. They will withdraw in order to decompress. They will sometimes stonewall. Sometimes they can be spiteful and critical. There will be a lot of emotional volatility at times, up and down with emotions. They tend to get dysregulated in their nervous system, so fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. And then they often will have a lot of creature comforts, like binging on food, TV, gaming, alcohol, gambling. That could happen. Their communication style is often that they overexplain. They can be very direct when they communicate. They can oscillate between being agreeable and confrontational. They often like to discuss their feelings and perceptions about things. Sometimes they'll avoid anything too personal because it makes them feel very vulnerable, and they don't share their needs often enough. And sometimes they will pretend that they're doing better than they are, and this is to avoid weakness. So, what triggers them when they feel disrespected? When they feel dismissed or ignored, they feel taken advantage of, sudden changes in patterns will often trigger them. They will be triggered when they feel like they're bad or they did something that they feel guilty about. They're triggered when they're feeling unheard or bulldozed, like somebody is competing with them, when their boundaries are violated. If they like see something happening out in the community, like somebody's being bullied, they'll often rally with that underdog. They get triggered when they're feeling trapped or stuck. And then others' incompetencies. So they feel like other people should feel to aim to be, you know, high achievers in perfectionism because that's the standard that they have for themselves. So I hope that this information has been helpful for you. If you see yourself, this in yourself or your partner, then please tune in for more episodes that are going to be coming up that give more information on how to deal with this. Now, one thing I thought of as I was saying that is, you know, we can't really 100% tell somebody else what attachment style they have. We can notice it when we're, you know, dating somebody, but or married to somebody, but we can't say that. So the best thing to do is follow the link in the profile in the bio for the attachment style quiz and figure out what you are. And if your significant other or partner is willing to do theirs, go for it. Have a fantastic day.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Tune In, Discovering Your Authentic Self. If you found this valuable, please share it with a friend, and it would mean the world to me if you left a review. I love connecting with my listeners, so please reach out to me on Instagram or Facebook at Nicole Renee Jensen.